La stars in David O. Russell's film again, which is potentially why she was not cast in the Jennifer Jason Leigh role in Hateful Eight. But other than that, probably her agents told her not to take the part because she would have been beat up too much on camera, which might have turned off some of her fans, which is why you hear actors and actresses thank their agents and lawyers so often at award ceremonies, because they're the ones who care about the perception of their clients more than the artists who are acting and writing and directing for a living themselves. So that cultivation of the persona is part of the star system, of which the studio system relies on so heavily to create revenue that justifies the funding of their films. So here you have the master actor, Jennifer Lawrence, who came on as a young actress with such interesting choices of films, and ever since Hunger Games has been sort of unable to move away from less chance-taking roles, although maybe that will change. But anytime she works with David O. Russell, it's always a good film. David O. Russell, his first film, Spanking the Monkey, was just a really dark movie about incest, and was incredible. It included a soundtrack by Morphine that was among the best of the decade in terms of soundtracks. Also directed Three Kings, one of the best movies about Iraq ever made, and it's a comedy heist movie. Anyway, to talk about Joy, Joy is a good movie in terms of David O. Russell's filmography. It's not as good as Silver Linings Playbook or American Hustle or Three Kings. It's certainly not as good as The Fighter or even I Heart Huckabees, but it's maybe just a level below that. It's an interesting movie, and it's a good story. The story itself is probably better than the movie telling of it. The problem with the movie is there are great acting and fresh filmmaking. The cuts and the cleverness of the storytelling is all apparent. The one thing that you don't feel, and this is the only criticism of the movie, is you don't feel much urgency or tension in the choices of the characters. So while there's a single mother who is raising a kid who is about to start the home shopping network, essentially, you don't feel the urgency of her sort of needing to have Bradley Cooper greenlight her mop that she invents. Because when he doesn't invent it, she just gets money from her dad's girlfriend, who's a wealthy widower, played by Isabella Rossellini. And so then when the mop flops, so to speak, on the QVC, you don't really feel much downside. You don't feel she's not punished or tortured in any way other than just that she might have to pay back that money and may have to declare bankruptcy. But the way that decision's presented to her doesn't feel dramatic. And that might be because it wasn't dramatic. This is based on a true story. But as watching from home, what you see is sort of a Cinderella-type story of a woman turning into a queen, sort of the queen of Home Shopping Network. But it has less tension than your average episode of Shark Tank, because there's nothing at risk for her if she doesn't succeed. Ideally, you would want to feel like her life would be over if she doesn't have the success, and that it's all wrapped up in this business model. But she's such a likable person, and the characters are so likable in the movie that we really just feel like if she doesn't make $1 trillion selling mops, that she'll do something else fun. And that her life isn't that bad at home, being poor with her cool actors, being surrounded by Robert De Niro and Melissa Leo and stuff. So that's not such a bad second option.